come ashore?
Yes, it did. It came right across, right down over top of us, right there.
There is the Hurricane Landfall Project truck. It's all set up, strapped down. We're going to turn all the switches on in just a little while. Standing outside of the Chevy Tahoe, we are getting into the eye wall of Hurricane Gene right now. Four came in on shore here along the southeast coast of Florida.
These little bullet cams right here that we will use to record that surge.
Hello, how are you? Welcome again to Stories from the Hurricane Highway. Can you believe it? It is time for the third season. So excited to have you here. Our Patreon has grown these last few years, and I am so proud to continue this tradition of providing you all this exclusive access to what amounts to like a book on tape. The details that you wouldn't find anywhere else of my career, these stories, these behind-the-scenes situations that you would only get if we were kind of hanging out, you know, going to dinner or just walking along a path somewhere and just shooting the breeze for a little bit, and in some cases a long bit. And that's the beauty of this. It's kind of a long-format podcast, and we get to just talk. And, well, at least I do the talking, and you do the listening, but I get to tell you about these stories from the Hurricane Highway, that metaphorical and sometimes quite literal asphalt and dirt road. And sometimes it's covered in water, sometimes it's covered in snow and everything in between. Sometimes it's covered in debris, many, many feet thick. And we talk about it all. So here we are, third season. Good to be back. Good to be talking to you again as we pick things up. You remember we finished up 2005, and what a tumultuous year that was. And so we move ahead now into 2006. And, you know, we're coming off a very, very busy hurricane season of 05 that gave us the likes of Dennis and Katrina and Rita and Wilma, amongst many, many others, of course, that had big impacts. There was Cindy that year making landfall along the Central Gulf Coast. There was Ophelia along the North Carolina Outer Banks. But the big ones there, Dennis, Katrina, Rita, Wilma, those really stood out as being really significant generational type hurricanes. Very, very impactful. We started the live video in 2005, did a lot with it, overcame a lot of challenges, got defeated. During Katrina, as you remember, I kind of picked things up, dusted myself off, and moved forward with the technology that we had and really did well. By the time we got to Wilma, kind of reconciling things and redeeming myself, capturing that fairly extraordinary storm surge down in Everglades City in Southwest Florida because of Wilma. And so I had all of this amazing momentum going forward into 2006. You know, all right, we proved that the unmanned camera system would work. I had this new website, a sister website, if you will, a companion website to HurricaneTrack.com. It was called HurricaneLiveNet.com that handled all of the live content, just to keep the two separate. Because remember, the mission of Hurricane Track was and still is to be a portal of information, just me talking about my passion, and that's hurricanes. And I wanted it to always be freely available. The idea of having a paywall, I never really wanted that. But again, you know, with 05 and the advent of live streaming, we had to have a way to pay for it. And so it was self-funding. The people that signed up in that first year to support it and to see it, this revolutionary idea of immersing you in the action, you know, that had to, I had to pay for it. So the Hurricane Live Net site worked really well after we got a few bugs worked out. And so we were ready to move forward into 2006, and there was a lot of anxiety going into that year. You know, people were still recovering big time in a big way from Katrina especially, and certainly Wilma and Rita as well. On top of all of that, the nation had gone through a pretty rough patch there with this barrage, this siege from the tropics. And there was political fallout. You all remember that under the Bush administration. And just all the different finger pointing, and it just, you know, hurricanes became politicized, and that was new and different and uncomfortable for many to deal with and to wrestle with. And so we approached the new year, 2006. What's going to happen? You know, everybody was paying attention to hurricanes now, it seemed. And it kind of also put the idea of climate change on the front burner. Some people, again, uncomfortable with that. That's also become politicized. A lot of different debating. You know, is it real? Is it a hoax? Is it manufactured to do this or to do that? Or is it very much something we need to be concerned with? That all started to really come into the forefront. And it wasn't just hurricanes anymore. It was all this other stuff. So it became a lot more complicated as we got into 2006. And I had to be ready for that, you know, and deal with all of that. So the new year begins. It's now January 2006. And what are we going to do next? What's the next big thing? Well, you know, looking ahead to that year and what we're going to talk about in the third season here of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. First, I guess we'll talk about that. What are we going to talk about over this season? Remember, the season is December through May that we do this podcast. And again, it's only on Patreon, nowhere else, no Spotify, not on Anchor, not on Google, not on Apple, whatever. It's just on Patreon. So tell your friends and, you know, other people, colleagues, look, join Patreon, become a part of this. Check out this podcast from the very beginning where we started all of this. And now we're up to season three. So what are we going to talk about? Well, 06, 07, and 08, in a nutshell. Those 3 years I will cover with a lot of different stories, anecdotes, interviews with some of the people that I worked with over those 3 years, and some incredible, and in some cases, never heard before. In this case, we don't say never before seen because this is an audio podcast, so never before heard audio that maybe I didn't put into the documentaries that I had produced those years or whatever. Some exclusive stuff, again, never before heard. And then again, those interviews with different people that were influential in one way or another. I look forward to that. We'll have new music, you know, some of the cuts between segments, the opening segment here, the first block of this podcast. You know, these will all be separated by different musical scores that I put together myself. I brag about that because it's a lot of fun, you know, to do my own music. I do, I score my documentaries and I do the music, and it's usually pretty simple for these podcast episodes to separate the different blocks and the different sort of lines of thought or categories of what we're going to talk about or segments or whatever. So yeah, we'll have some new music. That'll be an interesting thing for me to kind of play with and maybe set the mood from time to time. And then really the foundation of all of this, stories, these behind the scenes, like I said, these intimate details, you know, and what that word means, intimate, you know, we're not talking about love intimacy. We're talking about closeness, like you're a good friend of mine, so I can share these intimate details with you that I wouldn't talk about at a conference, or I wouldn't have time to talk about, or I don't, you know, talk about in a news interview because there's not time. You know, you guys are part of this community. You're my friends, you know, and you help support this. So I feel like, yes, let's go and kind of peel back the curtain here and show you what I was feeling, tell you what I was feeling, and some of these stories, harrowing or dangerous or some cases kind of like nerve-wracking or stuff that was like hard for me to deal with, challenges. Not everything's easy and not everything is sunshine and rainbows and success. So we'll talk about all of that. I guess they call it the good, the bad, and the ugly, but you know, we will. We'll talk about all of that as we move forward here in season three of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. All right, so let's get started here and look back at 2006. Where do we start? Well, you know, coming off a busy, busy season like 05, there were a few things I knew that I was going to do. One, I was going to make a documentary, picking up on the Tracking the Hurricanes 2004 successful documentary movie. And it really wasn't meant to be, ooh, I'm going to make a documentary and everybody's going to know me because I make documentaries. You know, I wasn't a filmmaker. It was more of an accident. Like, hey, I want to put together a video. I'll do the music because I know how, and we'll see if people like it. That was Tracking the Hurricanes 2004.
In the last 38 years, how many times has Florida been struck with a major hurricane? What would your answer be? One. That's right. One. That's it. I don't think the average Floridian knows how lucky they have been and what's coming. There's a lot of trouble coming. Chris was right. I want to emphasize it more. There's trouble on the way.
Top of us. We're going to go through the eye in just a minute, guys. The worst is almost over. It's almost over.
Trouble during the 2004 Atlantic hurricane season, and plenty of it. We all remember the hurricanes and the tropical storms. Each one of them had their own distinguishing characteristics. Now, let's take a look back.
And back then, it was DVDs, and I sold several hundred DVDs, and they were very popular, very well received, and so you bet I was going to do one about the 05 season, and aptly named Tracking the Hurricanes 2005. That would be the series going forward. I figured, yeah, let's just keep doing this. So there was a lot of stories to tell, as you can imagine, a lot of video to go through. Most of it handheld video. And you got to understand, we shot everything on a video camera. I shot it, Jesse shot it, and Mike shot it. Those are the three of us. That was the team. Myself, Jesse Bass, and Mike Watkins. So we had all this DV tape to go through, from all those different stories and all the different hurricanes and the adventures and misadventures, you name it. And then we had, the remote cam footage that was either recorded onto the hard drives of these various remote cams from the times that we got them back or they were successful or whatever. Mostly Rita and Wilma, some Ophelia. A little bit from Katrina. There was Katrina Part 1 down in Florida that we got some DV. It's digital video on the laptop. It recorded the stream as a Windows Media file. But then Katrina Part 2 there in Mississippi, all of that video would be from Jim Williams because he was recording my feed and the one that was really up there from the vehicle and the Gulfport Highway 49 cam. He was recording that himself onto VCR tape. As he did his live broadcast over at HurricaneCity.com. And so he had an archive of that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have it. It would have just been lost forever because there was no cloud recording back then. It didn't exist. Maybe it did a little bit, but nothing like we have now. It was very difficult and very expensive and whatever. So I had all this video to compile. I wanted to create music that would be appropriate for the gravity of the situation of 05. And, just make the production higher quality as best I could do. I was editing it on my PowerMac G3 that I had used for all kinds of other stuff, map making, storm surge map projects, the 3D animations that I was doing, these, different projects that I won awards for from FEMA and from local and state governments and so forth. That Mac really served me well, a good video editing machine and so forth. So that kept me busy. I had four kids at this point. If you're keeping score at home, there's myself, my wife Rebecca, and we have Nathan, and we have Cole, and we have Mallory, and we have baby Noah. Noah coming up on 2 years old in the year 2006. So family life kept me busy, my personal life, and then my professional life working on this documentary. That was very much keeping me busy. Again, all these different entities wanting to get in touch with me to interview me for newspapers, magazines, radio shows, documentaries, Pioneer Productions, something for Discovery Channel. My name was out there. It was a really neat thing. You know, finally people really took notice of what I was doing. So it kept me very busy. The other thing I wanted to do early on in 06 was go down to the National Hurricane Center and put on a seminar. They arranged it through their PR people, the public relations guy. At the time, his name was Frank. And I'm trying to remember his last name. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I remember his name was Frank. And he handled the PR stuff, public relations, public information, whatever. And he was kind of like their agent, this guy Frank. And he respected what I did, and I got in touch with him over email, and we scheduled a time that I would go down there. And I think Jesse went with me, if I'm not mistaken, and we put on a seminar for the National Hurricane Center at the Hurricane Center's office there on the campus of Florida International University, where it still is even today. And I did a PowerPoint, and I went back and I showed them all the data, all the stuff we had done, these remarkable video clips and everything from what we did have. And back then, it was, you know, pretty good. Now, 16 plus years later, it's extraordinary, like stratospheric good. As you know, it's evolved. It's come a long way. But even in 06, showcasing this for these scientists down there was amazing. And really having their attention. What did we learn from it? What do we see here? What can we glean and extract from the video that could be helpful as data? Data for meteorological statistics, you know, the mathematical data, and data for the societal impact side. How can we use this to better prepare people? Show them examples when they say, what is storm surge? What does the wind do? Whatever. This really helped for that too. So that was quite a privilege to go down to the National Hurricane Center. I think even Watkins came over. He lives down in Southeast Florida. He did then. He still does today. So it may very well have been Jesse and myself and Mike Watkins. Jesse might have even taken pictures and put them on his website at VA Storm Photo. You know what? If he did, it just escapes me as I record this. But if he did, I'll put a link to it on Patreon on this episode, and you can check those pictures out. Because we also went over to Hurricane Research Division, HRD, and did a seminar there as well. And that I do think that we did take pictures. Jesse took a few pictures down there, so I will link to that in this episode on Patreon. So, you know, good to go down and showcase what we were doing for the world's best scientist at the National Hurricane Center and NOAA's Hurricane Research Division. That was awesome. Quite a privilege to be able to do that. And then, you know, it's springtime coming up, and we have the National Hurricane Conference. Now, in 05, if you recall, it was in New Orleans. In 06, it would be in Orlando. And I'm going to tell you, there was like at least 2,500 people there. A pretty big conference as far as hurricane and weather goes. It was over, I think, at the Omni Rosen Center, the Omni Rosen Hotel. It's a big convention center and hotel right there on International Drive. And we brought the Tahoe in. We had already done that a couple of years. I think we did that as early as 04, bringing the Tahoe in to showcase it at the 04 National Hurricane Conference, which was in Orlando. I don't remember if we did in 05, but that's neither here nor there. But we definitely did in 06. And it got a lot of attention, you know, people coming over, taking pictures. And it's weird because there were camera phones and we didn't really have, you know, like we do now, nothing near the social media. No Facebook to speak of. It was just still .edu from Zuckerberg and the Ivy Leagues and the Stanfords of the world. And that was it. You know, there was no Twitter. YouTube was still just barely a year old. So yeah, people were taking pictures with their little flip phones or whatever. Yeah, you can imagine those must have been like low resolution, pretty bad quality pictures. But nevertheless, you know, people had a DSLR or a digital camera. Didn't have to necessarily be a true DSLR with the single lens reflex or whatever. But you know, the point is the Tahoe was famous. It really was. You know, people knew it from 04. And the Charlie incident, and now 05, and you know, they saw it on the news, CNN, you know, CNBC, MSNBC, you name it, that Tahoe was arguably the most famous SUV in the United States, you know, for at least for weather. I don't know, you know, bragging about Chevrolet here, but it did well. It kept us safe and people wanted to see it. And they knew that it had been through all these hurricanes, and they even had these little stickers, kind of like when football players put a sticker on their helmet for how many touchdowns they have, or the True Hurricane Hunter aircraft. I think they put stickers on there, these decals of all the hurricanes they have penetrated. And we did that on the Tahoe, on both sides, the driver and the passenger side. People loved to get pictures of that. That was really interesting. I remember that NBC and MSNBC did an interview with me with Kerry Sanders. He was the Miami bureau chief, I think, or whatever you call it. I don't even know if he's still with NBC or not all these years later, but whatever. He was then, and he did an interview with me in the Tahoe. We showed some of the footage from Wilma, and it was just an exciting time. You know, hurricanes were big business, you know, and that might sound a little contrite and, oh, well, big business, that's terrible. No, it wasn't. There was this whole industry revolved around hurricanes. Now, yes, some of it takes advantage of the situation. There is a negative side, but that's minimal. We're talking about the business of understanding this new realm of hurricanes that we seemed to have entered. 03 was pretty impactful. 04 was wow. 05 was like, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. And it looked like early on that 06 was going to be a continuation of that. We will get into that in future episodes here, but the National Hurricane Conference kind of set that tone. Hurricanes were back. We thought they were after 03, a little bit more in 04, but this was it. Everybody was on top of that bandwagon. They really were. The media, business and industry, you know, going all in. Lowe's, Home Depot, Sprint, Verizon, all the telecoms, the utilities, Duke, Progress Energy, whatever they're called, Florida Power, you name it, these agencies from government to Red Cross, churches, grassroots organizations, hurricanes were in vogue. And people were lining up to take advantage of that from an economic perspective. Many of them, and most of them, I will say, for the benefit of mankind. Let's take advantage of this for the benefit of mankind. And there was a positive aspect to that. Again, yes, there are some shady sort of mousetrap building companies. Oh, we got a new net that you can put over your house and it'll keep the wind from messing it up. And, you know, these sort of shady characters that just pop up out of nowhere. They want to sell you the latest and greatest storm shutter that's made out of, you know, like guinea pig droppings or something that they composite. I'm making that up. I'm just saying. I mean, yes, there were a few of those people at the expo there, this like big hall of all these different, you know, vendors, but 99% were legit big business and industry looking how Ford had to mitigate, how to become disaster resistant. It was a positive thing. You know, the business of hurricanes was more positive than negative. It really was. And I wouldn't be a part of it if it wasn't. I can't deal with that, you know. I mixed in pretty good with it. It was an interesting conference, a lot of talk, a lot of reflection and retrospective looks back at what we learned from 05 and the failures. Oh, boy, those were, you remember the levee thing in New Orleans and all that? That was a big stink. And there was all the political part, of course, you know, whatever. But I wasn't a part of that. I was the data, awareness, adventure sort of, you know, exciting side of it. Let's make hurricanes exciting to talk about. It's not a four-letter word. We don't need to hide behind the fact that we have a hurricane problem. And I was going to try to lead that charge that we talk about it. We get it out in front and we have respect, you know, for the data, respect for what people go through. And I was well received. My team and I, we were all well received. It was very uplifting and very gratifying to know, hey, our field program, the live video, the data we collect meteorologically and video-wise is helpful. It really is. And so that was a big thing. National Hurricane Conference there visiting the Hurricane Center in early 2006 up to the spring. It really helped to kick off the start of a very good year. So this is a good place to start for Season 3 of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. A little bit of an introduction here to the 06 calendar year and what will eventually be the 06 hurricane season. And eventually we will get to 2007 and some very interesting developments in that year. And then 2008 will end Season 3 going through the year 2008. A very impactful year for me personally, for me professionally, to our country. From the hurricane and tropical storm perspective, and of course, what was going to eventually happen with our economy and the big meltdown, as it were. All of that encapsulated over these 3 years that we're going to go through in Season 3 here of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. Again, 2006, we're just getting started. In the next episode, we'll pick up on the springtime and some of the events that I was doing in the spring after the National Hurricane Conference in Orlando, and go from there and get into the early parts of the hurricane season, what I was doing with Lowe's, and a really unique project that I had proposed to Lowe's Home Improvement that they greenlit. I'll talk about that next as well. That will be down in the state of Mississippi, just to give you a little bit of a teaser there. Something very exciting that I had spearheaded for that area. And then we'll get into the meat of the 2006 season. We would start, the first name of that year, of course, was Alberto. We'll talk about that and all kinds of other stuff, you know, all these different stories. We have different folks on. Mike Watkins, Jesse Bass will eventually join me. And this will be a fun season. We'll pick up on what we learned from the last couple of seasons. The production value of this podcast hopefully continues to improve, and hopefully the listenership, you know, it's up to you. Spread the word, talk to your friends and your colleagues and family members. A lot of people that are interested in the weather, not just hurricanes, even though we're hurricane focused. Generally speaking, this is Hurricane Track. That's the background brand, yes, but you know, the weather affects us all. It gathers us together in some very unique ways, whether we like it or not. And it's great to have you guys a part of all of this. I do appreciate it more than you'll ever know. Awesome to be back here for Season 3 of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. And with that being said, I'll bid you farewell for now. Thanks for tuning in. I am Mark Suddeth. I'll talk to you again on the next episode of Stories from the Hurricane Highway.